Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Pray for us, and then we're going to get started. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here to worship you. Thank you that we haven't been washed down the ridge. And that we're still here. We're still standing because we're your church. And Lord, we're just grateful to be that. Now as we praise you, as we sing, as we hear from the Word, we hear testimonies. Father, I just pray that you bless us and will give us what we need today. Lord, we need it. We need it from you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us first. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Blessed be your name in the land that is planted, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the mountain, the desert place, the walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to pray. When the darkness closes and Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name.
Says, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This morning, we continue to sing. We sing about what Jesus did for us on the cross. We sing about him being the center of our life. We sing about what he's done for us. So as we sing this morning, let it be from the overflow of a grateful heart what a holy God has done for us this morning.
Amen.
Everything I want is out here.
Thank you.
Jesus, you're the center.
This whole deal, when we talk about missions, whether we're talking about missions in Guatemala, or if we're talking about missions in Fort Worth, Texas, or in Raynona, Mississippi, or in Holcomb, or in Grenada, y'all listen, when tragedies come, like this past weekend have revealed, you know, we've had a murder in our community, 3 people, we had a car wreck, we've had different things, we have different sicknesses. Y'all, let me just remind you of something. We, at these times, ought to push into the mission of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not pull out of. We push into. In this case where these people were killed in this homicide, I want you to listen to this verse and think about how relevant it is that we get this mission out. In Acts chapter 26, in verse 18, it says this: to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to
to God, so they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ. Y'all hear the relevancy? Opening their eyes, turning them from darkness, turning them from Satan, offering them forgiveness and an inheritance that they could live for. Man, this is where we ought to prioritize our time and say, man, we want to get that word out. Y'all, I can't tell you, I can't begin to tell you who I would be if Jesus Christ didn't open my eyes and turn me from darkness to light, from Satan to God. If he hadn't forgiven my sins and given me an inheritance, I'm nothing without him. Who are you without him? What about those folks who ain't heard yet? Whether they're in Guatemala, in Fort Worth, or in Holcomb, or here. Man, they need to hear. And God is an eye-opener. Going on mission is an eye-opener too, isn't it? Yeah, it is. It's good stuff. So I'm going to invite my friend, Dina Rubio. I didn't even come close. She's so gracious to me. I can't roll an R. I try. You're going to have this.
Dina Rubio.
Rubio. Is this one on? Rubio. I can't. It's difficult. But just to start off, what we're going to do is Dina's going to share some things in Spanish, and I'm going to translate for her.
Hola, ¿cómo están todos? Mi nombre es Dina, y yo vengo de Guatemala.
So she says, hello, my name is Dina, and I live and work in Guatemala.
Yo trabajo con los ministerios AJAVA, y nosotros ayudamos a niños, ayudamos a las viudas, ayudamos a las personas que tienen necesidad.
It's very necessary that she comes here, but she wished she had a boat because there was so much rain and flooding in this area. And it was much trouble.
Ha sido una gran experiencia para mí trabajar para Java porque te cambia la vida.
So, they have Velveeta there in Guatemala.
Pero estoy muy contenta de estar aquí compartiendo con todos ustedes.
Out of all the places in the world that she's ever been, Guatemala, North Carolina, where she has our brother living, Raynona, Mississippi, she says Grenada is by far the best place with the best church and the best preacher ever.
I think he means something.
I mean something like a Boston translation. Look. Dina's going to share it. I'm not going to take up any more of her time except for to say, y'all, just listen to her heart. God made her special. AJAVA works amongst the least, the last, and the lost. For y'all who have been to Beautiful Feet recently, and you saw folks without a lot of resources, they still got a lot compared to those in Guatemala. I'm just telling you. The people that are being ministered there, sometimes we might not think we need Jesus every day. But I promise you, they need Jesus. And there's folks like Dina who are working all the time to be the hands and the feet of the Lord there. Okay? So just please listen to her heart. Last thing. She is a pastor's daughter. And amen.
I know what
you're
saying here, so I don't know if I want to say it again. Like, I'm a pastor's daughter because everybody look at me like,
yeah.
And they tell me, oh, you are wild.
You're wild. Like, they're telling you that.
Yeah, I'm like, no, I'm a pastor's daughter in Guatemala, so it's different, right?
It's different. Mild, not wild. And it's okay to not be wild here. But her dad, Pastor George, he's a normal-sized man like me. You know what I'm saying? He's not like your regularly shaped little people. He's normal human size, just like me. He's a good friend, and please pray for him. He's down in his back recently. His name is George, Pastor George Rubio. And with that, Dina, you go ahead.
Well, I always told them when they asked me, oh, so you are a pastor's daughter, and I told them, yes, I'm wild, both for Jesus, right? We have to be glad for Jesus. I've been having fun here this week. I've been eating many food. You have very delicious food. I've been eating catfish, frog legs, just fried chicken and mac and cheese, all the good stuff. I've been enjoying this week here, but also sharing what I live in Guatemala, in Ajaba. Because Ajaba means love that leads to sacrifice. That's what Jesus did for us, right? He put his life for us at the cross so we can live forever. So that's what we need to do for the others. We need to put ourselves in sacrifice. So I'm not going to say what I want to say. I'm going to say what Jesus wants me to say, right? So I'm going to put myself down because of him. And I'm going to choose to love because he told us, I want you to love your neighbor as I love you. And that's, I think, that's hard to get, right? Because it's, you know, Jesus, he has all the love. And we sometimes are not doing what he wants us to do. He said, I'm just going to give you one more command. I want you to love your neighbor as I love you. And I'm asking you, are we really doing that or not? We are not doing that. We are looking more to hate and not to love. And in how I learned that, because you're going to have experiences with people that is going to be hateful. And you want to hate them, but you are going to have to choose not to hate them. You're going to have to choose to love them instead. So for me, it's been a life-changing, because I've been working with my dad at the church, serving with the kids, serving with the youth, and preaching all the time, and going there and just serving the fatherless. That's something that the Lord wants us to do. Look for the fatherless, look for the widows. Is the real religion is that, is look for the fatherless, the widows, and keep ourselves clean from sin. That's the real religion. It's not, I'm going to go to church all Sundays and I'm going to be there. I'm going to, you know, I want the people to look at me because I'm praying. And yet, the Lord knows our hearts. The Lord knows what we are thinking and what we are doing. So we don't have to pretend, because he can see inside. So we need to do what he wants us to do. So what he wants us to do is to go and look for the fatherless. Because he said, even if your mother and your father left you, I'm going to look for you. So we have a little kid. His name is Samuel at the ministry. And he doesn't have anybody to take care of him. So he's there. Pamela, that is a friend and is a sister, she takes care of him. And this kid, when I saw this kid, his face, I want to tell you, I saw God there. I know that nobody has seen God because we cannot see him. But when I saw that kid, I saw God. And the Lord told me, you need to do something. You just cannot be, you know, seeing him and not do anything. And we have to give what we have, right? Because probably what I have is my time. So I'm going to give him my time. And if I have a hope or something to give to him, I'm going to give it. Because that's what I have. But I cannot just turn around and say, okay, I'm not going to do anything. Because the Lord is telling me, do something. You have to do something. You cannot just go away, right? And sometimes the problem is that we don't care. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus cares. Jesus cares. If you are sick, he cares. He's going to heal you. If you are lost and if you have issues, he cares. But we don't care. Why we don't care if he cares? If he cares, why we don't care? He just wants us to care. But that's our issue, that we don't care. And we have a program, a really nice program. It's Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And, you know, we give breakfast, we give lunch to the kids. They get fed. We give Bible lessons, Bible classes. We teach them the Bible because we have to feed the body, but we have to feed also the spirit, right? And so they got to know all the Lord. Because that's gonna be the goal at the end, so they can have eternal life. It's been really amazing because we got to go also with the groups and share the gospel. So we go in the groups and we give rice and beans, and we go to the houses, visit the houses, and we go to share the love of Christ, share the gospel, tell them there is hope. There is hope in Jesus. You just need to accept him. So we go there and we talk about Jesus. And I've been really impressed, and I've been really amazed because I've seen the souls getting saved. And that's joy. In 1 week, 5 people got saved. Then in another week, it was like 2 people, then 1 people. I was like, that's amazing, right? Watching the people getting saved, receiving Jesus in their hearts. So that give us joy and give us the energy to continue working and to continue doing what we are doing. Because we are looking the fruits. We are watching the fruits. So it's sharing the gospel. It's another way that we work there in Ahava. And it's been really amazing. I have to tell about Shane, because Shane, I know he lives here, but he was there all months, and he stays for a week or something. And I want to tell you, my country is a rough country. It's not like here. And it's not easy just to say, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to... I was born there. So I didn't have the choice, right? You give me a choice, I were here. But I didn't have the choice. But he had the choice to, and he's doing that. He goes there, he's just pouring love to all of them. He didn't tell me to say this. You're wondering, I just tell. No, he didn't tell me to say this. I just want to tell him, because I think he needs to be recognized by what he's doing. It's really important because he's from here and he's going to Guatemala to serve. So I want to tell that. And also, you know, the Lord is moving in my country. I'm seeing that because you go there in the groups to a country that is not your country and help. So the Lord is moving, right? We are working there. We are just giving everything that we have, love, our time, serving. We got to do a little bit of everything, because if you're serving, you're not going to be, I'm just going to, you know, give the Bible class and that's all. You got to do everything. You're going to serve, you're going to clean. We're going to do everything. So we got to do that, a little bit of everything. And that's really nice for me also. I'm really happy to be here with you. And I hope that one day you can come and see what we do and visit us. Yeah.
Kind of as the beautiful feet testimonies are getting ready. Y'all, one of the things that Dina, she spoke earlier at the church, at the Foundry Church in Rainona, and one of the things she reminded me of in that testimony was that sometimes in order just to get through to folks there, these people who don't have much of anything, Sometimes they just hug these kids. I mean, there's a hugging ministry. There's a playing ministry, because a lot of these kids, they don't play. They've got to go get water. They got to walk miles each way to get water for their house. They got to gather wood to burn, to eat, to cook, to eat. They got to do a lot of these things. And so sometimes they get to the ministry, they get to Ahava, and they just get to play. They just get to be kids, you know. And so it's like taking orphans, and they're not all orphans, but just it's like taking orphans and just bringing them into the family of God and feeding them and caring for them and talking with them and extending that hospitality. So, again, the beautiful feet team start gathering up, and we're going to hear this testimony. But I want to say something about about Shane, and it's this. He don't do this alone. He's got a family who sacrifices alongside him and with him, and they all it's pretty awesome what God's done in their life. And y'all just remember them and lift them up. Now I want y'all to look at the best looking beautiful feet team in the world right here. Y'all see them? It's so awesome that we get to do this, and I'm just going to let them share. And Bert, I'm going to turn it over to you.
All right, so we had 45 people total go from Mississippi, 33 from Christ Community Church, I don't know how many, from different churches in Mississippi, and then 5 from Oklahoma came and met with us. But instead of me talking about it, by the way, we learned a lot of interesting things I'm not going to go into. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to open it up for them to give their testimonies instead of me talking. So, who wants to go first? I believe it's Amanda.
My name is Amanda Moody. I started writing some things down, but then I got busy. I think if I were to expose this, I'm not sure that I am. But I guess something I can share with you guys is, well, first of all, the fact that I was able to go and go with my girls and for them for us to experience this all together as a church and, you know, mother and daughter, it was an experience for sure. And I think that I know that it opened my eyes to realize, and like someone said the other day when we were there in Texas, we're all so close. We all don't realize just how close we are to being homeless. We met doctors and lawyers and preachers that knew more scripture than we did. And it just, you know, one mixed up and it's happened. And another thing that I like to share is, you know, the last year in my life has not been easy. By any means, we've had a lot of deaths, and we've had just some trials and stuff. Like, you know, everybody goes through different things, different ways. But it taught me to be appreciative of the things that I have and stop grumbling and complaining about being so busy and being too busy to do the things that I need to do, and just. It was pretty good. That's about it. I can talk a lot.
My name is Kylie. I had really fun going. It was really good. But it just taught me that you should be like thankful for what you have. Just like really thankful. Like sometimes we think that we don't have a lot and we're like sad because we don't have what other people have, but they don't have nothing. Like, we should really be thankful for what we have, and that's all we're saying.
Got a scripture I want to share from Psalm 119. It says in 147 and 148, it says, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, and I may meditate on your promise. And I had written there in my notes from years ago that, you know, it's just a reminder that we as believers, we need to be in the Word morning and night. And I think, you know, our sister from Guatemala nailed it a while ago by talking about how, you know, really, we don't necessarily always see our need for Christ. And, you know, we get comfortable. And so it was kind of an uncomfortable trip in a lot of ways. But it was also, you know, especially after the first few hours of being there, being there in Fort Worth, that beautiful feet, and just started kind of clicking, you know, that, okay, we're here to serve. And so I had the privilege that I didn't know I was going to have. Me and Jamie didn't know we were going to have initially, because there was a Big John-shaped void that was missing on the trip. And then we thought, okay, Bert's going to do all the teaching and preaching and stuff. And Bert was like talking like this the whole time. So that was a lot of fun. So it was a privilege to be able to teach and preach. And I'd even made the comment when we stopped at Wendy's in, I think, Louisiana on the way. I was just kind of being smug. I was like, I'm not even going to have to do anything on this trip. I just get to chill and hang out and have a good time. And so I've been serving in ministry for 15 years. And I thought I was going to get to chill out and not do the leadership thing. And just be the family guy and hang out and help out in the background. But it was a lot of fun getting to teach and share and just talk about with the homeless before lunch one day about the fact that we all struggle with entitlement. And I think homeless people do that too. I think people in general do because we're selfish. And it was refreshing just to be able to remind all of ourselves that, you know, about Mark, you know, 10:45, about how even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so I encourage you guys, you know, if you don't have time to go on a mission trip, I mean, the mission field's right here in Grenada as well. And there are lots of people who need Jesus here. And, you know, just be a servant. That's what you were created to do, was to serve Jesus. And it was just a privilege getting to do that. I was privileged to take my daughter, Emma Grace, and son, Judah, and my wife, Diane, who's not able to be here with us today. She's sick, and I know she's hating that she can't be here. But it was just a privilege being able to go with a family and also with a new church family. It's been fun being in Christ community and just getting to serve. We've been able to pray for some of the homeless folks by name each night since we've been back. So, y'all just, like I said, whether you go on a mission trip or not, I encourage you to go on a mission trip and go on many. But even when you're not able to, while you're here, talk about Jesus every day. Talk about what Jesus is doing in your life. Be a witness to what God is doing by spending time in the Word. And be willing to testify about what He's doing. Thank you.
My name is Archie Davis, and this is my first time going. And it really opened my eyes to see that what we have, we should be grateful for and not complain because other people don't have that. And it just makes us look like we're spoiled or something. So,
hey guys, this is my first trip. It's really humbled me. I met a lot who were very negative, who yelled at me for wanting to pray for them. But I've met a lot of positive people who didn't have anything but a tent and a blanket and maybe a pillow. And it was the best thing that could never happen to me after losing my baby in December. I grumbled and I grumbled and I grumbled. And I got to tell a man who was grumbling, I named 10 things in front of him he had to be thankful for. And I remember sitting down about 2 weeks after my son died and just writing everything that was good in my life. And y'all, I had like 15 pieces of paper and I ran out of paper. And I turned a piece over to write the bad things and I only got 4 things. And they're really not probably bad. These guys really have nothing. And I've always been terrified. I've wanted to stop on the side of the road for everybody. And I know you can't just do that, but I've always been really terrified to do it. And I prayed before I went out for God to just take the fear away and to speak through me because I don't know what's going on with these people. And now y'all will probably have to wait on me to move out of the way for homeless people because I'm going to stop no matter what. because I feel like God's got me. And it doesn't really matter what they look like or what they smell like or what they have, because these are people. You know, you shouldn't be scared of homeless. This is what I've always been told. But, you know, you shouldn't be scared of people who live in mansions, too. Because some of those are the meanest, baddest people on earth, and some of these homeless people are better than most of the church. I saw them giving quarters, pennies, dimes, and nickels. Sunday was what really hit me, when they were tithing more than the richest person in Grenada probably tithes, because it's all they had, and they gave it back. I was joking with one homeless man that was showing us around. He had a banana, and I said, "You didn't give me a banana." And he offered me his banana. And for him to have no food, no anything, and to give it to me who had money in my pocket to buy one, God, we should really humble ourselves, because we have more than most. Thank you.
River really didn't know what to expect. But once we got there and we started helping people, it was amazing just to see people run up and get a snack. They was hungry. Get coffee. So a lot of them were willing to let you pray with them. And some wasn't. But like as my wife said, some had nothing. I'm not a shy person. I'm not scared of anybody, so I'll go up to anybody. It didn't matter. I made sure I packed the bus. I wanted the church full. So I went out and done what I had to do. Me and him stayed on the street with him. I wasn't worried. Was you worried? And he was happy. He was joking with him. And I got to thinking while I was on that trip, there's a lot of lost people. And every one of us, every single one of us, knows at least one person that's lost. Every one of us. If you can just get one person to find a way, that's better than doing nothing. If you know that person, go to them. That's what we was doing. We was going to find the lost. Some of those people really want to be found. Like there was one guy on the street. He just looked like he was just down. I said, "Hey, man, come on, get on the bus. Let's go get our Jesus on." He said, "Man, you know, I've been waiting just to see who's going to invite me to go to church." He said, "The first one who invited me, I was going to go." I said, "Look, the bus is open. Get on." You know, it's just that we can help so many people right here. We don't even realize it. If you just look around, they're there. Just think about that. One person. That's all you've got.
I'm going to try to keep it short and sweet, but shush it. One thing that was cool was Sunday morning, it's packed full, because after service, they pass out the clothes and the shoes and anything that they needed. They pass it out after service, and then they get lunch. Well, Jamie and Jake had both kind of tag-teamed with the guy that's over it. And one of the things that Jamie said was, you know, our church is a lot like that church. And it was really cool, I mean, to see we're not full of homeless people, but we're full of all kinds of different people. They run the buses to pick up the crazy kids just like we do. I love you, you're crazy. But they love on them. I mean, they had two of the front rows full of children. And they were wild and rowdy like ours. Surprise, surprise. But, I mean, they just loved on them. And they make sure they do the classes for them. They make sure they feed them as well, just like she said, spiritually and physically. And it was just kind of cool to go, oh, wow, our church in Grenada is like that, too. Everybody's welcome. I mean, it just is what it is. And then I do want to say I'm real proud of my kiddos. Most of you know that we do the youth band. And we did a whole lot of worship there, and they rocked it. I mean, they didn't make it about them. They didn't give me attitude, which they're used to giving me. But I mean, they did, they rocked it. And then I'll brag on my little bits over here. So they made this really terrible snack. I love y'all too, but I don't even know what they got in the kitchen, and they just put it all together and went around at my house where just my family live and raised how much money? $25.04. And specifically said, we want this to go to Beautiful Feet. And so we have a video, I know it's on Facebook, of them giving the money to Mr. Mike, who's over it. And what Mr. Mike did was, since they went and sold cookies, they were terrible, out by my house, then he took the money, and his wife went and bought cookies, and they got to give them out Sunday. So it was just really neat that was their heart. They wanted to give that money for whatever was needed. And Mr. Mike said, well, since you did this in Mississippi, you're going to do it here too. And they did. They passed it out, and the people loved it. So I was just proud.
This is my sister Rebecca, and she wants to talk. She doesn't want to.
So I went to Beautiful Feet with this man, and it was really cool. But it was really cool, and I just wanted to tell you guys a quick story. So it was like the second night, and we were all sitting laying down to go to sleep, and Miss Amanda, I noticed that Patty was not in the vicinity. Yeah. I was like, oh. So I went to Miss Amanda, I was like, you know where Kylie is? She said, she's gone. And so I was like, okay, I'll go get her. So I ran up the stairs, yelling your name like a crazy person. Saying, Kylie, where are you? Basically making a ruckus. Then I thought about where she could be, so I ran out the building across the street and started pounding on the door because it was locked, the worship door. And somebody told me that Jamie said, don't let any homeless in the building. Guess who did not get in the building? Me. So here I am, pounding on his door, like a crazy person, yelling, open up! And they did not open up. But I was just thinking about how that's kind of like what God does for us. He runs up and down looking for our hearts and our souls to come to him, and knocks on our hearts, yelling and screaming, open up, I want to come in. And I just thought about it like, did any of those homeless people really open up?
This is my third year going to Beautiful Feet, and I don't know what I was prepared for. Maybe it was the food. Maybe it was, you know, getting away from school. And, you know, I really didn't know what I was going to say to these people on the street. Keisha's over there looking at me because she knows. I think she knows what I'm about to say. But first night, like the first night that we actually went out, hit me like a bus, because we went out and we were on the streets and we were handing out food and praying for people. Sure, that's good. You know, I wasn't really doing anything special. I wasn't praying for people to a certain level of connection. Before the trip, I was sitting there asking God to give me the right words to say, and, you know, just to get through to somebody. I wanted to touch somebody this trip, and that did not happen. I'm just going to say that truthfully. That did not happen. I did not touch somebody, but other people definitely touched me. I don't remember which time we went out, but there was this guy, and he was in the tent, and this one really got me. You know, alone on the street in the tent on the sidewalk, and you know, we gave him some food, and we had a good conversation. I had a good conversation with this guy, and the one question that he asked that got me was, you know, sometimes he wondered, "What about me, God? What about me?" And I don't know how that would feel to be abandoned by God and alone on the street, but that got me thinking, how many people out here feel like that? How many people here in Grenada feel like that, that we could be reaching out to and touching? I'm going to need my hat back. We could do that here. So, pass it.
I'm Nick Goldberg, and that was my fourth time to actually go to Beautiful Feet. And this year, I didn't actually do too much. Like, I stayed at the ministry the whole time, except for once I actually went on the street. But we were there. We were working with Mr. Eric. And then we got to see all these people that didn't have they had absolutely nothing. And they came just to get their food. We went to talk to a few of them, and they literally just said, no, I don't want to talk to you. I'm just here for food. I'm like, okay. And then if you think about it, we have the same type of stuff that goes on here in Grenada or in Mississippi. Just anywhere you go, you have the same type of stuff. You would see somebody, and you just want to go talk to them. They're like, no, I don't want to talk to you. So all you're like, you're really passive. You just want to go away. When they say, no, I don't want to talk to you, you just turn your back. You walk away from them. But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to go talk to them, even if they say, no, I don't want to talk to you. Because everybody has the moods where they just want to be alone for a little bit. But sometimes they say they want to be alone, but they really don't. They really want to see who is going to pursue them, who is actually going to follow them. So.
Okay, so my name is Stephanie Keel, and this is my second year going to Beautiful Feet. My first year, it was kind of, okay, I don't want to talk to these people because I don't like talking in front of people, so this is actually really big for me. And, well, I didn't want to talk to them. I didn't want to pray for them. So I ended up doing that my first year, and so I came back my second year, and I was more willing to go out, and I talked to more people, and I prayed for more people. But what really hit me hard was when we were out on the street, and we would see a little kid out there, or we would go up to talk to people, and they weren't out there because they were doing drugs or something. They were out there because they got injured, and they got fired from work because of their injury. Like, that really hit me hard, because we see people around here all the time, and we're like, oh, they put themselves in that position, but most of the time, people don't do it. And then to see parents who have been injured and they have kids out on the street, it's really, like, their kids were younger than me. They were like Luke's age. And, like, babies filling strollers, and it really, it hit me hard. Seeing that someone at such a small age is going through so much, and we complain because we don't get the game we want for Christmas, and all they want is someone to talk to them and pray for them and give them food.
When I went there, this is about my third time coming. When I just saw the people, I just saw about many people that are about my age just struggling. Like what Stephanie said, like sometimes I really wish for one game, and then they just wish they would have food and water and be able to live.
I guess one of the things that just sticks out in my mind is on Sunday, when the service was over, they asked for anyone on the Mississippi-Oklahoma team who would be willing to pray for anyone in the congregation to come up. And so our whole group went up, and we were there to pray for people. And people started coming up, and no one had come up to me, and that was cool. We were just standing there, and Mike, I saw him come in front of me, and he went to a lady on the front row, and he knew her. And next thing I know, she's standing in front of me. And so she took my hands and she said, so you're from Mississippi? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, where it's flooding? And I said, yes, ma'am. She didn't even hesitate. She started praying, you guys, for us. She started praying for us that our homes would be safe and that our family would be okay. And then we got done praying, and she prayed a long prayer, but it was beautiful. But when she got done, we talked again for a little while up in the front. And she said, you know, she said, God freed her from prostitution and God freed her from drugs. And she was in prison for about 6 months. And she said, the whole time I was in prison, she said, I laid on the floor. She said, I didn't talk to people. I stayed. She did, I'm sure, whatever you had to do. But then she went back to her place and she said, she just laid on the floor. And she said, and God met her there and God saved her. And I just thought, well, then she said, but then I got out. She said, and I live on the streets. She said, and it's cold. She said, I live in a tent. She said, it's really cold. And anyway, she kept talking, but to me, that was so profound. That here's this lady who lives in a tent currently. And it was cold. You know, I mean, it was cold just to walk outside. You know, we were complaining a little bit because the bus going had no heat. It was very, very cold, and we're shivering. We're sitting next to each other real close because it was so cold. I mean, that's a long ride to Texas, and it was cold the whole way. Windows defrosted, and that was a whole other story. But we were fussing, or a little bit maybe grumpy, because it was cold. But we were still in a bus, and we had people next to us. And here's this lady on Sunday morning who currently lives in a tent, and it's cold. She was by herself. And yet she chose, she didn't ask me. I hadn't prayed for her yet. She was telling me her story, but she didn't ask. She just immediately, not just praying for our team, not just praying for me, but praying for our friends and our family in Mississippi that our homes with four walls would be okay if she lives in a tent. And so, and her name was Michelle. And so if you think of her, if you'll pray for Michelle. But that stuck out to me.
Yeah, we're done. And as we sit down and we come to the invitation, missions is everywhere. Missions just isn't in Guatemala, but we need to go. We need to support missionaries and people working in Guatemala. We need to go to Dallas, Fort Worth, pray for those folks and work with those folks. We also need to be at work here. We got lost folks. We got folks that have needs. Here, we need to meet those needs here as well. Mission starts here where we are.
We're going to have our time. We're going to have a time of invitation and a time of offer. I had to look at them just get my mind right. But I want to take just a second. Y'all wouldn't believe how proud. And I don't care. I know that we ain't supposed to be prideful, but how proud in the Lord I was of our team going, of the folks who stayed here and carried on the ministry while I was sick. I'm a proud, proud pastor, and I love y'all. I know I tell y'all that, but I want to tell you that it's special now, okay? Proud of our team. Proud of y'all. Love y'all. We're going to have a time of invitation. If your eyes have not been opened like it's been described, if you haven't had that encounter with Christ that we go other places and tell people about, maybe today is your Sunday to do that. Maybe it's your Sunday to say this. I haven't been a part.
And you know, you haven't prayed. You haven't given. You haven't gone. Dina gave us a challenge and said, why don't we care? Jesus cares. Maybe you've been in that don't care category. And life's busy. We know how that happens. But maybe today is the day your eyes are going to be open, that you need to be a part of Jesus opening the eyes of others. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take up an offering. We're going to first take up our regular tithes and offering for Christ Community Church, okay? And then we're going to take up a love offering for Ahava Ministry. They didn't ask me to do that. That's just. And if they wanted to get wealthy in their ministry, they would have went to another church this morning. We just want to present them some love from us to them. Okay, that's what this is about. So the first time it goes through is just regular tithes and offerings. The next time it's coming through is just a love offering for Ahava. And I'm going to tell you something about the integrity of that ministry. If you give them money, that money is going to help the people in Guatemala to have... They got to pay for everything. They got to pay to have the garbage picked up. You know, they pay out of pocket for everything. You know, and to carry on there with people who don't have anything, it requires help. And we get an opportunity to do that help. So the second time the plate comes around, it's going to all go for Ahava. So if the ushers will come forward, I'm going to pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be a part of your mission here and there. And so, Lord, just help us. Help us to be generous in our heart and willing to give. Thank you, Father, that we have something to give. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the team that we had at Beautiful Feet to help lead worship. So that's what we do.
Thank you all.
And I can't think of anything else. We're going to be here Wednesday at 6 for the youth, 6:30 for adults. And we have one-on-one class starting today and ending today. From starting at 1, be finished around 3. And so if one-on-one class is for membership. So if you've been wondering and saying, man, where do I want to join at Christ Community, come to this class. Let me pray for us and we'll roll. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I love y'all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Ready? Work!